this message.
Let me take you on.
Ladies and gentlemen, now ready for the sound and
located at 3320 West Adams Boulevard. The Reverend Paul Hill Pastor. This live broadcast is a presentation of the radio ministries of the Holman United Methodist Church in Los Angeles.
Holy One, we are constantly bombarded with temptations and enticements. When we yield, when we fail, who will help us? You, Lord, have come to our aid. You teach us, counsel us, and guide us in the ways we should go. We rejoice in your unfailing love. Amen. Please be seated. And now we will hear the music of ministry. I'll praise my Maker, the Holman Choir. Thank you. Our scripture this morning is found in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. I invite you to listen and follow along as I read the scripture. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on the other hand, they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put your Lord, your God, to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us now receive the ministry of music by the Holman Choir, Jesus Paid It All, after which Reverend Paul Hill will bring the message for today, Discovering Your Achilles Heel. Amen.
Thank you. Began this day turning the television on to hear what's happening in the world since I closed my eyes in sleep from the day before. I opened the television set so that I can hear what's happening not just in my community locally, but to hear what the fate and the situation and the circumstance of the world in which we find ourselves. I greet the morning with gratitude for what God has done, but also I listen for an accounting of what mayhem has been found and experienced under the veil of last night's darkness. We hear about the pain, the anguish, the brutality, the hatred, and the acts of calamity that have gripped the world in which we find ourselves. We hear about some of the joys and excitements that should energize us and inspire us to hold on to the day which is opening to us. But yet it is the temptations that were too enticing to resist that call us to engage in behaviors and practices and experiences that will hurt and harm and danger even ourselves, although we think we are secure enough and powerful enough to control our whole life being, that we find after the mayhem and the failures and skirmishes and pains and sorrows that we aren't as great as we think we are, that we have some vulnerabilities, yet that need being checked. There are some changes in our life thoughts and actions that we need to regulate in a different way or ask God to regulate for us so that we will resist the temptations of doing those things that will hurt and harm and maim us and others who share life with us. But yet it is that there are those who seem to find the dark of night a wonderful time to pounce on others and not enhance their lives but hurt and harm and maim them. It's in the dark of night that there are those who are looking to prove their prowess and their power and their macho that will call them to engage in driving recklessly and compromise the well-being of others who share the road with them. It's in the weakness of our being that we often lash out on others who share life with us, energized by the sense of madness or power or fortune or control that will cause us to victimize those that we regularly would try to love and care and support. But these are weaknesses that we have. If you will, they are our Achilles heel. On last Wednesday, we began the season of Lent. It's 40 days before Easter Day, not including the Sundays, because Sundays are considered to be little Easters. But we begin on this season of self-denial, a prayer and meditation, on reconsidering what we are doing and why we do it, and how do we realign ourselves in such a way that we honor God and bless God and walk with God in our thinking, in our living, and in our actions of life. We seek to be reconciled and forgiven, cleansed of all unrighteousness. We seek to move closer to God so that we may be made whole and happy and healthy, and so that we may honor God in our living, so when the kingdom of heaven comes, ultimately, we may be welcomed within its gate. But it's in the dark of night that those who think they are controlled of their addictions and afflictions, they are and how out of control they are because they victimize others who are innocent and who just happen to be unfortunate enough to live close to them. The Achilles heel is a part of most of us in our natural creation by God. It is a very small part of who we are as it attaches the ankle and the heel, and enable our ability to stand, to run, to jump, to skirmish, to energize ourselves in a variety of ways to enhance our lives and our relationships with others. Certainly those who engage in sports activities know well the Achilles heel as they challenge their bodies with demanding activities as they would seek to live for life as they define. But yet it is that if we don't take good care of that part of who God created us to be, if we abuse our bodies and we don't start caring for those parts of life, so they remind us what we hurt, where we are broken, where we need some assistance, some recovery, some Jesus was and challenged him to turn the rocks into bread. But it is that Jesus knew that man does not live by bread, so he did not speak to the teachings and the temptations of Satan, but moved on to be aligned with the understanding of God's will for him. Satan was not finished with Jesus in this time of testing and turmoil and struggle. But he took him to a high place and
a scripture of the great creation
that God had made of the world and showed him of the magnitude of God's creation. And he also challenged him to throw himself down into the low place with an understanding that God would not allow him to fall and to hurt himself. But Jesus also understood that we are not to tempt Christ by some foolish madness to do things that are not necessary just to prove a point that someone else has made. The God would break his fall is what Satan has said. But Jesus was not willing to put God to the test to prove anything to Satan. Then they climbed to a high place, and it was that Satan made a promise to Christ that was not his to deliver on, that he would give Christ everything that he wanted in the world. But Jesus also knew that the caliber downhill did not belong to Satan, and Satan was not in authority or in power, was not able to amass the marvelous things that God had blessed all the creation with. So this temptation also was all for naught, because Jesus
achieving ill was far more powerful than the temptation that Satan visited upon Jesus in his living. I ask you, my friends, as we have begun this Lenten journey for 2020, how is it with your soul? More importantly, how is it with your Achilles heel? Are you rooted and grounded in faith that will not shrink in the face of life's adversity and chaos and difficulties and heartaches and struggles? Can you withstand the temptations and the tests that others may visit upon you? Are you really in control of your life and your mind and your thoughts and your actions and behaviors? Are you one who makes right choices and great decisions? Are you one to shrink in the face of life and that adversities and chaoses and fears, so much so that you can be plundered under by the temptations that others have for you, and they will seek to unseat you from the position that God has made possible for you in your living in his presence. We have just a few days to be reckoned with God to discover the strength and the weakness of our position as people of God. We have just a few days to move closer to him, because not a day is promised in this life for any of us. For there are those that for whom we have no expectations or anticipations of being removed from our midst in these last few days. Who knows what tomorrow may bring for us? So it's important that in this day we do our best to move closer to the Christ, so that we may be strengthened and empowered to walk the walk and to talk the talk and to live the life that brings glory and honor to our God. We are those who are not complete outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that seeks to live and thrive in us, so that we may live and thrive until the coming of the reign of our God. The story told of a woman who had a little boy who had already had some experiences in his very young life of coming to the communion table to take the sacraments. As his mother was trying to get him rooted and grounded in a relationship with Christ through this holy sacrament, as we will do in a few moments in this service today. The little boy was curious, but had been there before, and he remembered that as you come and kneel at the communion rail, there is a wafer called bread and a cup of juice called wine that each person were taken to themselves. He didn't understand clearly what those things were, but he understood that all who came to the table would sup with him, most importantly with God, and that God would change his young life. The boy enjoyed this tradition, and in some small way, as children can enjoy the taste, to the point that his mother had to tell him previous times, you don't come and get full of this stuff. But that she would take him to have a meal after the Lord's Supper. Well, the good boy had come, and he watched the other people as they began to take upon themselves the presence of God in this holy sacrament. And as they had completed the ritual and folks were dismissed from the table to go back and to live the faith that they had been embracing as a part of this Christian tradition, the little boy was resistant, and as his mother kept pulling on his arm to come and to let's leave and go back to our seat, he was still wanting to give her some struggle, some fight to stay at that place, because he said he was still hungry and he had not gotten full. So, my friends, I hope that you will want to stay in the presence of God this day, that you will let all the other things, all the cares, all the worries, all the fears, all the doubts, all the sorrows, all the burdens, all the bitterness, you let that stuff go as you come to be in the presence of our God, that you will allow him to heal and to strengthen our Achilles heel, that our faith may be the means by which we may be empowered to walk the new walk and to talk the new talk and to live a new life unto Christ. And we will not live with fear, but live by faith and walk in the newness of life. It's by God's invitation that we receive forgiveness for our sins, and he opens to us a vista, a new view, a new opportunity to see the kingdom of heaven as it unfolds before our very eyes. And it's because of his great love and mercy that we are free and empowered to live abundantly. So let nothing hinder you, my friends, but may your faith inspire and not allow you to resist the temptation to walk into the presence of God, to receive the gift of salvation that God has made possible in Jesus Christ. May it be well with you in your written journey. May your Achilles heal. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. God calls us to make critical decisions. God calls us to be vulnerable to the movement of his Spirit as he seeks to meet us where we are, but then to transform us and make us what he has purposed us to be. That begins with acknowledging the lordship of Christ and surrendering our lives to the authority of the Holy Spirit so that he may empower us and guide us and direct us in that way that leads to life eternal. It begins when we say, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. That begins when we surrender ourselves to him and him only, so he may lead us and guide us and shape us to the person that we potentially can be. So if you have not come to know him as the Lord of your life, this is a great day and a great time. Let no other time or the anticipation of no other time become a hindrance to what God can do for you and with you in this moment. If you say, Lord, pardon my sin, receive me into your life. I give myself to you. And if you've already done the first step, you ought to also be connected to him through the fellowship of those called the church, this mission ministry of vitality that lives and proclaims and shares the good news of the gospel that calls people to reconciliation and repentance and renewal, that calls us to walk a new walk and to talk a new talk and to live a new life. You ought to be already engaged in living this faith, this fellowship at home or in the fellowship of another church in the community. That can happen today if you come forth as we gather at the altar in a moment to make dedications of our lives to our God. There'll be someone who will joyfully and reverently lead you and engage you and pray for you. With me, you want to feel that relationship with Christ. Or maybe it is that what you are needing to do is to return to give God thanks and praise, to say thank you for all that God has done for you, how God has strengthened you and purposed you and guided you in days past as you seek to walk this walk and to talk this talk and to live this faith today and always. This is a great day to get reconnected to Him through this fellowship. Let each of us in this moment be an attitude of prayer. May we be vulnerable enough that God's Spirit can find in us a place to live and abide forever. May it be that we will not leave here as we have come, but that we will stay until we are filled by the Spirit and are empowered to live anew. Won't you come to the choir, come to sing the song of faith as they seek to prompt and to inspire our Christian discipleship.
Grace, O God, our eyes are open our ears unstopped, our hearts attuned to the needs of others. We give so more people may know your acceptance and forgiveness. We support the ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing among us and through the outreach of the church. Expand our horizons, we pray, and tear down the limits of our caring. Amen. At this time, please follow the directions of the earth.
Or online at HolmanChurch.com.
That's H-O-L-M-A-N, HolmanChurch.com. Today's radio broadcast was sponsored by the John and Cheryl Sweeney Foundation, Investing in People. We thank John and Cheryl for their support. Please plan to come and worship with us in person real soon. Here at the Church of the Bells, we have services at 8 and 11 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we are located at 3320 West Adams Boulevard. That's Adams Boulevard and 4th Avenue in the historic West Adams District of Los Angeles. We wish God's blessings on you to have a wonderful week, and thank you for sharing this time with the Holman United Methodist Church on radio station KJLH 102.3 FM. Remember, you can contribute and find out more about us at HolmanChurch.com. We hope to hear from you and see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Gospel Experience. Or at the Word, it's up next, right here on 102.3 KJLH.
KJLH Captain Los Angeles, broadcasting from the 1-800 The Law 2 Studios.
Hey, what's up? This is Rob Pacheco. You know, it's no secret the SOS lawyer is notorious for getting accident victims paid. The SOS lawyer's lucrative has been winning major injury and wrongful death cases for a firm of 2 decades. I refer all of my family, friends, military comrades, and fellow Harley Davidson lifestyles to the SOS lawyer, and they need the best accident attorney. If you've been involved in an auto accident with Uber, a bus, or a truck, call the SOS lawyer. He will even come to you, whether it's at your home, office, or even in a hospital. It's so simple. The SOS lawyer.
This is the SOS lawyer. We started airing on KJLH over with Catch Jesus Club. I said, 10 and now. If you've been injured in an accident, put the SOS lawyer on your team. Hard facts of life.
Sure, I'm the one you need. Confirm notorious. SOS lawyer at 877-SOS-1. SOS-1. The SOS lawyer is notorious.
Let's not kid ourselves. Most of us
you're listening to Gospel Edition.
doctor said, while they called the family, they cried out.
When we first heard Aretha Franklin many years ago, we heard her singing this song. I have heard of a land where we shall never grow old.
Chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with an palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of the judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber.